You're listening to The Air of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh,
Well, folks, I had one broadcast to do tonight, but since WWCR has once again failed us and we are not on WWCR, and I'm looking into other shortwave transmitting stations to broadcast on because I've had it up to my ears with WWCR and their shenanigans. I believe that they have purposely turned the signal strength down on this broadcast on many occasions because the broadcast before and the broadcast right after came in strong and clear all over the country and all over the world. And I don't know what they're doing tonight or why they're doing it, but we are not on WWCR. I can guarantee you I'll find out tomorrow for sure. In the meantime, if you know a shortwave broadcast station that is looking for the number one shortwave show in the world, it's available as of right now. Not taking any more crap from WWCR, period. I already have an offer from another station down in the southeast United States that is extremely attractive and would actually allow us to not only broadcast with them, but maybe on one or two others because of the price. And it's a prime time slot, which would be earlier. So, since WWCR chooses not to air us for some reason, we're going to go ahead and do the second half of the tape of the Worldwide Church of God Bible study that many of you found so interesting. So, stay tuned, because here it comes. As soon as
they're just causing their own trouble.
There you go.
He goes on to say, on January 1st, 1991, a new 96-page state law goes into effect, and it requires all Oklahoma residents to declare everything they own to the tax collector, everything, guns, coins, art collections, furniture, business equipment, bank accounts, household furniture, etc. Forms will be distributed through banks. Any taxpayer who refuses to fill out the form and submit to the tax assessor by March 15th, and he has listed in there the Ides of March, he's against the Illuminati, he's against, you know, Romanism, you know, and they want to always, you know, draw this association, you know, back to the Illuminati and back to the Freemasonry and back to all these things. It says he will ask permission to enter the home or place of business. If the request is denied, he will be issued a search warrant. Any property not previously listed or undervalued will be assessed a penalty of up to 20% of its market value. This will make renters into property taxes and make life easy for the gun grabbers. He says, what are the investment implications of this? He says, invest in a good gun and be standing on your porch with a gun in hand when they pay you a visit. And that's what he's advocating. And brethren, we don't advocate violence in this church. You know, Jesus Christ said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And I talked with Mr. Flory today, and he certainly wanted me to say this. You know, if any of our members out there, you know, are on these militia lists or patriot lists, if you're receiving information from these people, you know, you may want to consider getting your name off these lists, because could you in some way be implicating the Philadelphia Church? I mean, I think this bombing in Oklahoma City was so tragic, I think the government is now going to go after all these people, and they're going to look into your background. I mean, I worked for the Department of Energy, you know, for 14 years of my life, and I know they did a 9-month investigation on me. The FBI has done it. They're very thorough. They know every address I ever had. They know every telephone number. I'm sure they can go in and find out about anything they wanted to about me, and they can find out anything they want to about you. This is, what are the investment implications? Oh, I already read that. And he goes on to say down here, will they get away with this blatant disregard for civil and constitutional rights? And again, you know, brethren of God, you know, I don't think I need to get into this argument. I don't think you need to get into this argument. And that's not what I'm trying to do. And I'm sure there are 100 people out there that will want to debate me on whether this is constitutional or not constitutional. And, you know, what does Jesus Christ say about that? Well, you read 2 Timothy 2. You read from about 14 through 16, he says, look, let's stop this endless debate to no profit. And what's really going to profit us? He goes on to say, will they get away with this blatant disregard for civil and constitutional rights? That is exactly the reason for the law, to find out if it will meet with strong or violent opposition. Now I've never been asked to do this. I mean, I've been living in the state for almost 3 years. I've never been given a form and asked to do it. It says, If the citizens of Oklahoma lie down and allow this to happen, then you can bet everyone else in the nation is going to be subject to the same or similar law. It's time to stand up with a weapon and scream enough. And that's what he's advocating. It is time to draw the line. It is time to make decisions and carry them out. It is time to resist at any and all costs. The penalty for failing to do so is slavery. You know, is it not time for rebellion? Is it not time for restoration? The Constitution must be again, as it once was, the supreme law of the land. Federalism is treason. Stand up and fight. I mean, that's what he says right here. And you can, like I said, you can come up and read the book yourself. Like I said, he begins the quote at the beginning, but there's no quote towards the end, so it's a little, hard to say, where he's beginning to quote and where he doesn't quote. I mean, we've got to be careful, brethren. We've got to be careful, brethren of God. And I would hate, that the government and, the people in this society are going to come after us. But let's not invite them. I mean, they're going to come after us. Mr. Corey preached that years ago already in the booklet of Amos. He's written it there. That probably the government's going to come in and say, look, we can't bear any more of your words. Get out of here. So what? Let's speed the day and let's get out of here. Yeah, but we're not going to stand up and fight them. I think I told people, if they come after me with handcuffs, here, take me. Let's get this over with. Let's get this. I just wanted to show you on this. I think it's interesting on this page 69. He warns, as Gary Carr warns about what groups to watch out for. Let me tell you. Here's a group we're supposed to watch out for. It says, it's amazing that man has fallen for these deceptive teachings. And he talks about pantheism. He says, his pantheism is clearly based on the two oldest lies of Satan, the same lies that tripped up Adam and Eve. He says, the serpent lured the first couple into sin by promising them that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would never die and they would become like God. That wasn't all a lie. they couldn't live forever if they ate the fruit, right? But they could become like God. And that's what we teach.
I hope you all caught that, ladies and gentlemen. They couldn't live forever. But they could become like God. And that's what we teach. That's exactly what they teach. So all when he's quoting the Bible and talking about Jesus and the words of Jesus and the words of God, he's mocking you. He's mocking the Bible. He's mocking Christianity. For their God is Lucifer. And that phrase, that sentence that he just made just then, exposes it all. As did the first side of the tape that I played on a previous broadcast, and as will the rest of this tape. Expose them as what they are.
And that's what he warns against. And like I said, we're going to be lumped in as a New Age group, and of course they've already been called and every other unsavory thing. And I said there's going to be a lot more unsavory things to come. But Mr. Flory warned us, and he warned us even on a tape recently. I'm just going to read from his article on Jonah. It's coming out in the Philadelphia Trumpet. And he talks here in the article on Jonah, and gave in the sermon, that we have vowed a vow to God. We owe God something. And we went under the waters of baptism, and we did pledge loyalty to God and to Christ. We pledged loyalty to a message, and I think we also pledged loyalty to each other, and we have to protect each other. And we need to be careful who we associate with so that we're not drawn into unnecessary controversy. He goes, Mr. Flory writes, have we forgotten that vow? Have we forgotten that salvation is at stake? Either we deliver God's message or we die for all eternity. Satan is always trying to pull us away from what we vow to God. And that's what so many of our people forget. They forget what we're about. We are about a new world. A government. We're about Christ taking over the reins of this government. We're about putting Satan away forever. We're about becoming God. We're about looking for a new world.
Now, for those of you who may just be tuning in and don't understand all of this, remember what happened in the Bible in the Garden of Eden. God said they were not supposed to eat of the tree. Of knowledge. And they did. And they did because Satan came along actually Satan acting on behalf of Lucifer, came along and told Adam and Eve that God had lied to them, that they would not surely die, and they would become as gods. And so in the mystery religion, those who really worship Lucifer as God and call the God of the Bible, your God, Satan, believe that Lucifer set man free with the gift of the knowledge of good and evil through his agent Satan, and that through the use of this knowledge, man himself will become God. Remember, he said that if they failed to worship their God, they would surely die, and if they worshiped their God properly, they would live forever? That's the promise of Satan, that they would not die. And he just got through saying that they would become gods. I'm going to rewind this a little bit so that you'll understand how easily it is to deceive people. Because I guarantee you, the people who belong to that church and listen to these people have no idea what they're being taught. It just sounds good. It sounds real nice. And their parents probably took them there years ago, because most people go to the church that their parents took them to. That just happens to be a natural fact.
And I think we also pledge loyalty to each other, and we have to protect each other. And we need to be careful who we associate with, so that we're not drawn into unnecessary controversy. He goes, Mr. Flory writes, have we forgotten that vow? Have we forgotten that salvation is at stake? Either we deliver God's message or we die for all eternity. Satan is always trying to pull us away from what we vow to God. And that's what so many of our people forget. I mean, they forget what we're about. We are about a new world, a government. We're about Christ taking over the reins of this government. We're about putting Satan away forever. We're about becoming God. You know, we're about looking for a new world. And see, Satan is always trying to track us away from this. So the tiny few have been sidetracked from the PCG by extreme interest in such philosophies as the New World Order. And again, Mr. Floyd is talking about extreme interest. I mean, I have to admit, it's been interesting for me to read these books. It's been interesting. And someone told me that they spend hours and hours with these books. And in some ways, they're entitled to that if they want to do that. But I don't have hours and hours to be involved in these books. And to be honest, you know, so much of them are unprovable. You know, they talk about it, that the AIDS virus has been, you know, it's kind of been started by a CIA plot. You know, this is a CIA plot, and that's a CIA plot. And even Mr. Cooper says, well, I have this information for you, but I can't divulge the source. Well, then why read it? I mean, I can just quote that for you here. I mean, I want you to believe me. You know, I don't want you to take my word for it. Here's page 196. I mean, he goes into a lot of depth about, you know, the UFOs and how the Illuminati and the Freemasonry and this New World Order have built these fantastic machines to deceive the people. Now, if you can build a machine that fantastic, why do you have to worry about deceiving anybody? Just take them over, right? I mean, that's what I feel about it. Why all this deceptive campaigns? The many sources of information were used to research this chapter. I originally wrote this piece as a research paper. It was first delivered at the MUFON Symposium on July 2nd, 1989 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Most of the knowledge comes directly from or as a result of my own research into the top secret magic material, which M-A-J-I-C, I should say, material, which I saw and read between the years of 1970 and 73 as a member of the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet. Since some of the information was derived from sources I cannot divulge for obvious reasons, and from published sources which I cannot vouch for, this chapter must be termed a hypothesis. It's one of the largest chapters in the book. You know, and so that's when I say, brethren of God, why are we wasting our time with this? When we have so many other things, you know, that we should be reading and could be reading. I mean, he even says it's hypothesis, but I know there are some very sincere people out there. And again, Mr. Corey said there are a tiny few, but there are a tiny few out there that have put more stock in that than our own message. And that's pathetic. And that's very sad. We've got to come to the conclusion, brethren, and ask this question. And if someone came up to you and asked you, why is this nation going down, can you give them the Bible answer? There is a Bible answer. You know, why is this nation going down? Let's look at Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. And these are scriptures that we should be reminding ourselves of over and over again. If you want to know why this nation is going down, what source do you go to? It says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And so, I mean, how do we really come to an understanding of end time events? I mean, what's the right focus? Well, we've got to look to God in Christ to give it to us. I mean, God says, look, I'm calling the end from the beginning. God knows the end. And he is involved, heavily involved, and he gets involved, brethren, and he makes sure the events work out the way he intends them to work out. We don't need to go to men like Gary Cohn. We don't need to go to men like Gary Cooper, or Bill Cooper, I should say. Gary Cooper was an actor that's dead a long time ago. I'm sorry. I'll get confused with my names. But you see, God can guide us through this whole maze, and really, if you look at it, God's message is so simple. I mean, if you go in there and you try and start proving all these things, it's almost unprovable. Almost unprovable. But God's message is very simple, and I read that to you on the Holy Day, 2 Corinthians 11:3. You know, Paul says, look, I fear for you people, and I fear that you're going to be taken away from the simplicity of Christ. And that's what God fears. And that's what I fear. I mean, that's what the ministry fears for the people. I mean, our message is so simple. See, our message is so simple, it may not be as scintillating. But honestly, if you would try and go out and prove these books and prove them and prove them and prove them, it would take you a long time. And maybe you could be out there proving and the rest of us are going to be gone. I mean, that's my own speculation. I mean, we've got to be careful of these things. But why is this nation going down? Well, God tells us why it's going down. You know, let's just go to a scripture I just was looking at the other day. And I didn't plan to use this tonight, but let's use this. And just to come back to some basic understanding, Revelation 1. I mean, God the Father loves you, and he's concerned about you, and he loves me, and he's concerned about me. You know, and God the Father is going to tell us certain things. He's going to reveal to us certain things. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, I mean, Revelation 1 and verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. You know, God is going to show us what's going to come to pass. And there isn't anything in the Bible, brethren. I mean, God gives us details. He kind of gives us gigantic events. And I believe if Freemasonry and the Illuminati was as important as these people think, that God would have told us so. And God doesn't tell us so. You know, if someone asked me, well, where does the Illuminati and all that fit in? Well, I believe it still fits in under, you know, the Babylon mystery, the great horror. I mean, it's just all part of that great horror system. But it's not better than that horror system or bigger than the horror system. That's what they want to say. They want to say, well, this is all-encompassing. This is bigger than the Catholic Church. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. You see, God does love us. And he's going to give us things. It says he's going to show us, you know, what comes to pass. You know, and who's he going to show it through? He's going to show it through Jesus Christ. So Christ is going to give us the right emphasis. Christ is going to give us the right focus. And there are things that are going to happen in this country that we have to face certain realities. Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 4. Kind of take a little bit of a different path. Matthew 24 and verse 4. You know, see, people out there look for reasons why these things are happening. Like I said, unfortunately, they're looking for stability and security, and something that can't give them stability and security. And this Constitution can't give us stability and security. The monarchy in Britain can't give us stability and security. It can't. But this is what we're facing. Like I said, Christ is going to give us the right emphasis. What does Christ ask us to focus on? He gives us a focus that's a pretty simple focus. Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Number one thing we're to watch out for in our lives in the Philadelphia Church of God is deceit. We've got to be careful of deceit. We've got to be wary of deceit. It says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 6 says, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. So you should be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows." We're seeing famines and pestilences, and there's wars. Of course, Mr. Armstrong taught us verse 7 means world war. We have to look out for world war. But let's answer that question now. Using Jesus Christ, if you look at Matthew 4 and verse 8, Jesus Christ said, "Look, there's going to be pestilences and famines, and there's going to be all these troubles." He tells us it's coming. God says, "Look, I'm going to help my servants. I'm going to show them what's coming. I'm going to use Christ to reveal it." And now we can ask the question or answer the question: why is this nation going down? Why is this nation going down? Well, the answer is, brethren, because God is taking it down. That's why this nation is going down. Let's look at Ezekiel 6 and verse 10. This is what this nation needs to hear. What message does this nation need to hear? What message? Mr. Cooper says he's a man with a message. Gary Koss says he's a man with a message. But what message does this world need to hear? Do they need to be put in fear of Freemasonry? Do they need to be put in fear of the Illuminati? Do they need to be put in fear of the Council on Foreign Relations? Do they need to be put in fear of the Trilateral Commission? Well, they need to be put in back in a right relationship in the fear of God. That's what they need. Ezekiel 6 and verse 10 says, "And they shall know that I am the Eternal, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them." See, why is this nation going down? Because they are Manasseh. They are the tribe of the tribe of Joseph, and they have violated the covenant.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is straight out of British Israelism, which is a crock of crap.
And then they're going to be punished. They're going to be punished severely. Thus says the Eternal God, "Smite with your hand, stamp with your foot, and say, Alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence." See, that's what God is saying. Look, I'm against them. There's so much history in World War I and history in World War II where this country was spared, a lot of war on our soil. There were some Japanese bombs that went off in the Pacific, and there were, in that sense, Hawaii was bombed by the Japanese. But for the most part, besides the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, there hasn't really been that much conflict on this nation, but that conflict is coming. And why is it coming? Jesus Christ warned us there's going to be trouble. The beginning of sorrows is here, brethren. It's really here. We're having a lot of sorrow and sorrow and sorrow. But he says, "Look, I'm against you. I'm doing this evil." How it comes about in the long run, the little minor details really doesn't matter, does it? For there are some people, I believe, that will give more power to the Illuminati or more power to the CIA than to God. And God says he's bringing this nation down. Let's look at Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel." That prophesy. and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear you the word of the Eternal. You see, we've got a message for Gary Cobb. We've got a message for Bill Cooper. I mean, they have taken the name, title, you know, they've taken the phrase prophet on themselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a blatant, barefaced, and clear-cut lie. Nowhere in my book, nowhere in my entire life, have I ever called myself a prophet or used the term prophet. Indeed, I have made it a point to tell everyone who's ever listened to me that I am not a prophet. God does not whisper in my ear. All I have is a message for the American people to wake up or they're going to be enslaved. So this man has now made himself a liar. Listen to the rest of it. He's lied so many times, it's pathetic. He says that the Bible, God says, that he's going to bring this nation down. And nowhere in the Bible, anywhere, does it say anything about this nation or that it's coming down.
And will they listen to our word? No, because they're choosing what they're going to do. I mean, they're choosing what they're going to do. Verse 8, it says, therefore, says the Eternal God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, says the Eternal God. I am against you. And that's the message. I mean, I don't see anybody out there really saying, well, look, all these things are happening because God is against us because we're sinning against God. They think it's a pretty good world. You know, they believe once saved, always saved. And they're going to have to grovel in the ruins, of their own sin. Let's look at Jeremiah 30 and verse 14. I mean, that's the truth, brethren. That's our message. That is our message. That's what we have to deliver. That's what we have to get caught up in. That's what we have to get excited about. That's what we have to support. You know, the United States has made all these pacts, and they've made all these politics. They've made all these love arrangements, and look what's going to happen. It says, all your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you for naught, for I have wounded you. You see, God has wounded us. God is going to wound us, I should say. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased. See, why are we being taxed more? You know, why are certain freedoms being taken away? It's because we're sinning more. That's why it's all happening. You know, God is against us, brethren. God is against us. God is against us. God is against us. And the reason why we're in so much trouble is because of our sin. Both as a nation and as individuals of the nation. And then we just had that wonderful sermon, where it talked about the Assyrians, and the only nation in history to have truly repented before God. Will this nation repent? I mean, I pray it will. And that's the only solution. It's not getting a gun and fighting your IRS agent. You know, that's not going to stop all this tragedy. It's just not going to happen. And again, I'm not trying to make fun of anyone. I mean, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Let's go to Ezekiel 5 and verse 1. Ezekiel 5 and verse 1. You see, here's what's coming on this nation. And there's a tragic message here, but there's also a message of hope for you and I. Ezekiel 5 and verse 1, it says, and you, son of man, take you a sharp knife, take you a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon your head and upon your beard. Then take you three balances to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city. I mean, that's coming on this nation. It says, when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and you shall take a third part and smite it about with a knife. And the third part you shall scatter in the wind, and I will draw a sword out after them. You shall also take therefore a few in number, and bind them in your skirts. See, the message is so simple. You know, what we're going to see, brethren, in this beginning of sorrows, or as Christ talked of the famines and the pestilences, you know, and the wars, you know, we're going to see, you know, so many people killed in this country. You know, and it says that we flee, just when the tribulation, you know, it's like when they're ready to start massacring God's Laodiceans, we're gone. But up to that time, it says that we can see many, many horrible things. You know, the bombing in Oklahoma City is going to look like kids, really like child's play, before this is all over. But look at the promise there in verse 3. It says, some are going to be taken and hidden in the skirts. Verse 12, it says, the third part of you shall die with the pestilence, with famine, shall they be consumed in the midst of you, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about you, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw a sword out after them. You know, so if you think about it, you know, we're going to see, you know, you just begin to divide up the thirds and, you know, just begin to count cities by thirds, and you're going to see people, you know, die of the pestilence and die of the, you know, the famines and you know, if you think about it, even the famine, I mean, brother, what would it take if, you know, if there was a massive earthquake? This is my own speculation. What if there was a massive earthquake, you know, on the West Coast that kind of devastated all the trucking industry, and maybe there were some other real serious problems on the East Coast? You know, if you could knock out just a few cities, you could cripple this country in terms of food. You know, and I know for myself, you know, there's a part of me that says, okay, let's go out and buy some land. But if I had to feed myself, I'd be dead in a few weeks anyway. You know? You know, so I'm stuck on my trucking industry. But again, brethren, we just have to face, you know, some serious things are coming. Where did you learn about those thirds? You know, how have you learned about those thirds? How have you learned about what's coming? Well, you've learned it through Mr. Armstrong, and now you're, you know, you're reliving it or relearning it through, you know, the Philadelphia Church. And so it's our message and it's our booklets that are the ones that are truly exciting. That's what's exciting. It's so simple. We don't need a master's degree. We don't need a PhD. We don't have to go to Washington, D.C. and try and dig up every CIA record to find out what's happening. We just don't have to do that. You know, even Matthew 24:15, I mean, it tells us what to look for next. It says the abomination of desolation, right? I mean, that's what we're all looking for, aren't we? And then right after that, we're looking for, you know, the tribulation and the martyrdom of the saints. And we're, you know, and hopefully none of us are going to see that. Hopefully we're going to be in a place of safety. But see, that's what it tells us to look for. It says the abomination of desolation. Where do you find out about the abomination? Well, you've got to go to Daniel 7. You've got to go to Daniel 11. You've got to go to Revelation 13. And where did you learn that? You know, you learned it from Mr. Armstrong. Book of Revelation unveiled at last. You know, you look in the Middle Eastern prophecy. You look in who is the beast. And that's where we have to go to find out those things. That's what you have to understand. You know, it doesn't matter, really, in the long run, you know, what Freemasonry does. It doesn't matter what the Illuminati does. It doesn't matter what the Council on Foreign Relations does. It doesn't matter what the Trilateral Commission does. It doesn't matter. You know, even this Gary Kaw in his book, you can turn there yourself. You know, he says that the 10 kings, you know, are these 10 economic blocks that are supposedly set up by the New World Order. The United States is one of them. He says we're part of the beast. You know, I mean, so, but, you know, let's not be ridiculous. I mean, they've got a map in here, and it shows these maps. And, you know, so he said these are the 10 kings. He also, you know, he talked about the Antichrist, and he says the way we prove the Antichrist is to go to Daniel 7 in the 70 weeks prophecy. That's about Jesus Christ, not about the Antichrist. He says the beast is going to be in power for 3.5 weeks here, and then he's going to be cut off, and then there's another 3.5 weeks. You've never heard that before in your life. You know, and someone said, well, yeah, we know that's all wrong. You just call all that off. I said, well, if you call all that off, what's left? It's not worth, to me, it's not worth the effort to try and figure out what you can use and what you can't use. When we have all these other books, you know, that we should be really reading and studying. I mean, there's literature after. I mean, look at, we've got Malachi's message, we've got Isaiah, we have Ezekiel, we have Jeremiah, we've got, you know, the new book that's coming out, God as a Family, we've got Zephaniah. We've got so much to look at and so much to study and so much to understand. I know one of the things in preparation for this Bible study, I got it out of an old booklet. I mean, it's called 19. I mean, they've got a map in here and it shows these maps. And, you know, he said these are the 10 kings. He also, you know, he talks about the Antichrist, and he says the way we prove the Antichrist is to go to Daniel 7 in the 70 weeks prophecy. That's about Jesus Christ, not about the Antichrist. He says the beast is going to be in power for 3.5 weeks here, and then he's going to be cut off, and there's another 3.5 weeks. You've never heard that before in your life. You know, and someone said, well, yeah, we know that's all wrong. You just call all that off. I said, well, if you call all that off, what's left? It's not worth, to me, it's not worth the effort to try and figure out what you can use and what you can't use. When we have all these other books, you know, that we should be really reading and studying. I mean, there's literature after. I mean, look at, we've got Malachi's message. We've got Isaiah. We have Ezekiel. We have Jeremiah. We've got, you know, the new book that's coming out, God as a Family. We've got Zephaniah. And we've got so much to look at and so much to study and so much to understand. I know one of the things in preparation for this Bible study, I got it out of an old booklet. I mean, it's called 1975 in Prophecy. And, you know, I took it along on the airplane just as a kind of, well, I have never read this. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe this is really interesting. Well, I found that it was really fascinating. Because I came into church, I was baptized in June 1975. And this was written in 1956. And I just want to read to you, brethren, how up to date this book still is. Now, there's parts of it that aren't up to date. And there's parts that aren't up to date. But why don't we spend time with this booklet? And some of Mr. Armstrong's other booklet. Why don't we spend time with Mystery of the Ages and the Incredible Human Potential? You know, why don't we spend time with books like The Wonderful World Tomorrow? I mean, those are the only books you can depend on. Here's what Mr. Armstrong wrote. I'll start on page 5, and this is incredible. Incredible. You know, he warned about, you know, communism and the psychological Cold War, and in some ways, you know, I guess you could almost put the Illuminati and the, you know, you could kind of lump them all into that. I mean, these men do see our society being, from the underpinnings, they see our people being, you know, led into all this entertainment. Well, that's true. But communism started that. And Mr. Armstrong saw that years ago. He says, undercover in Europe, he says, while America has been focusing its sole attention on its clumsy effort to meet psychological Cold War with antiquated diplomacy and military might, the real number one enemy has been perfecting its plans secretly undercover in Europe. Mr. Fleury has even written about, you know, that Germany rises out of the abyss. You know, you can't see it. You know, it's always working undercover. So these plans were laid by Adolf Hitler during World War II. The methodological Germans took into consideration the possibility they might lose even as they had lost World War I. This time, their plans for coming back and launching World War III were carefully laid before the close of World War II. I mean, Mr. Armstrong wrote this in 1956. It says that the day that war ended, the Nazi organization went underground. You can go to the Bible and prove that. You can go to your Bible and prove.
Do you hear that, folks? You can go to your Bible and prove that the Nazis went underground at the end of World War II. it gets better. It gets much better.
says their planning for coming back had been proceeding undercover since 1945. Already Nazis are in many key positions in German industry, in German education, and in the new German army. In World War I, the Kaiser allied with Austria, sought to conquer France, Britain, and America. American industry finally beat him. In World War II, Hitler tried to conquer the world first by taking Austria and the Sudetenland through diplomatic gangsterism, then second with lightning-quick war, taking Poland, Denmark, Norway, Holland, Belgium, and France, and third while holding these nations by the throat with his Gestapo and allied with his junior partner Mussolini to conquer Russia on the east and Britain on the west. But again, American industry and three acts of God at Dunkirk, El Alamein, and the destruction of the German hydrogen bomb plant at Peenemünde defeated Hitler. But this time the Nazis planned to sidestep the causes of past defeats. Instead of exhausting their own strength by holding European nations as captives at the expense of vital Gestapo manpower, they planned to head and dominate a United States of Europe and add the manpower of those nations to their own military divisions. I mean, Mr. Armstrong wrote that in 1956.
Mr. Armstrong was also full of crap. The Germans never had, ladies and gentlemen, a hydrogen bomb plant, nor did they have it at Peenemünde, which was their facilities for building the V-2 rockets and the research into rocketry and their attempts to reach outer space and orbit. That's what went on at Peenemünde.
It says, and secondly, they planned to strike their first blow, not at France or Poland in Europe, but with hydrogen bombs by surprise attack on the centers of American industry.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Germans never had a hydrogen bomb. We're not working on a hydrogen bomb. The hydrogen bomb theory wasn't even arrived at until well after the close of World War II.
Says, yes, this is prophesied. You think all this fantastic? Well, listen, and listen carefully, because these very Nazi plans, which have leaked out from underground, have been published, were known to Almighty God and recorded by him in his prophecies 2,500 years ago. You'll find this prophesied in Daniel 2 and 7, and more specifically in the 17th chapter of Revelation, a United States of Europe, a flash-in-the-pan resurrection of the ancient Holy Roman Empire. I mean, he goes in and tells you what Daniel 2 and 7 are all about in the 17th chapter of Revelation. It's not about these 10 Illuminati Freemasonry-inspired economic blocks that cover the whole geography of the whole world. You know, if we're going to understand the beast and the power of the beast or the abomination that causes desolation, you have to look at prophecy, you have to look at geography. There's a king of the north, there's a king of the south. But, you know, what is a kingdom? You know, a kingdom has a king, plus it has subjects, plus it has geography. See, I think sometimes that's too simple for people. He says it will possess greater military might by far than Rome of old, but it will also inherit fatal weaknesses. Prophecy symbolizes this admixture of never-equaled military might and unprecedented weakness with the apt phrase, iron mixed with miry clay. The European nations will unite militarily, but they are suspicious and envious of each other. They hate one another. And that's the description of Europe today. This time the Germans are coming back from defeat faster and more effectively than they did after World War I. The comeback they are making is phenomenal, faster than any other European nation, faster than we think. Because while Americans bask lazily in the stultifying sunshine of prosperity, our hearts set on push buttons, shorter hours, less work, more leisure, vacations, and travel, I have seen the swarms of Germans walking briskly, briefcases in hand, to their day's work between 5:30 and 6:30 in the mornings, down the streets of Frankfurt, Dusseldorf, and Essen. While our prime objective seems to be idleness, ease, and luxury, the German mind and heart and interest appear set on just one thing, hard, energetic work that will yet put Deutschland über alles, or Germany overall. Says, incidentally, I'm writing these words on a German-made typewriter. He says, because it's better and sounder-made machine than any American portable. The American way seems to be not how good, but how cheaply and quickly we can slap things together and how much we can get for it. If American industrial strength beat the Germans twice, present German hard work and industry is assuredly going to beat us unless we wake up to what's actually happening, which we won't. Do you think Mr. Armstrong understood what's happening to America? I think so. I think so. He says, and again, incidentally, I wonder if you realize that Nazis were working on the hydrogen bomb before the end of World War II. They had it very near completion.
That is not true, ladies and gentlemen. The Germans were never working on a hydrogen bomb. They were working toward an attempt to create an atomic bomb, which they never even got close to, not even remotely. The hydrogen bomb theory was arrived at by Dr. Edward Teller in the United States long after World War II was over with.
We didn't know then that it was a hydrogen bomb, but we did know the Germans were on the verge of completing some terrifying new weapon, which, if perfected in time, could have turned apparent defeat at the 11th hour into an unbelievable victory for the Nazis. During the later months of the war, the central theme of my American broadcast was that, and he calls it the title, Race Against Time. He said it was only a chance, lucky hit, or was it providential by an American bomber that destroyed this hydrogen development and enabled the Allies to win. German nuclear scientists are the world pioneers in this field. When this United States of Europe emerges, they will have the hydrogen bomb and the guided missiles to project it with pinpoint accuracy on every vital American and British production center.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's a complete and total lie. And the bomb that he was talking about that was dropped on a plant in Germany was on a heavy water plant. It had nothing to do with a hydrogen bomb. And again, Germany was not working on a hydrogen bomb, had no inkling that they could even possibly remotely make a hydrogen bomb, and since they hadn't even come close to perfecting an atomic bomb, did not possess the trigger that is needed to detonate a hydrogen bomb, which is, of course, an atomic bomb. So Mr. Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God, the Philadelphia Church, and this gentleman, if I use the term loosely, who is giving this little sermon, are full of bullshit.
So today the stage is all set. At a certain moment, the new leader of this European combine will appear suddenly in the public eye. He's already behind the scenes in action, but the world does not yet recognize him. He still works undercover. Perhaps this coming military political leader does not yet know how many or precisely which European nations will join in this united Nazi fascist Europe, but you and I can know the number, for God Almighty wrote it down for us 1900 years ago in Revelation 17. There will be 10 dictators exerting iron rule over 10 European nations. So there's not going to be 10 economic blocks. And it says these 10 will give all their military power to the central overall leader pictured under the prophetic symbol of the beast. This prophecy does not reveal exactly which 10 nations will be included, but this resurrected Roman Empire will bind together some 250 to 300 millions of peoples. That is more manpower than Russia or the United States has. The strong indication of these prophecies, then, is that some of the Balkan nations are going to tear away from behind the Iron Curtain.
That's another lie, ladies and gentlemen. For the current population of the United States of America is somewhere around 260 million people.
And that's already happened. And it says, Russia has lost already to all appearances. He said that in 1956. And that's exactly what happened. So, why don't we get back into these kind of books? Why don't we get into those kind of things? Brethren, God has given us, such incredible knowledge, and we just need to focus on that and go back and reread it and reread it and reread it and study it and study it and study it. And, why aren't our booklets dog-eared as maybe some of these other books are? Let's look at Ezekiel 33. I want to close there. Ezekiel 33. And I just think it's kind of an interesting comparison, and maybe you can look at these books in this light. There's many principles taught in this book. Ezekiel 33, in verse 1, it says, And again the word of the Eternal came unto me. He says, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him up for a watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And so here God is talking about a watchman and what a watchman does. And it says the people can take a man of their people and they can, you know, they can set up a watchman. I think there are many people out there that love to read books by Mr. Kahn, Mr. Cooper, and in some ways then they set them up as their watchmen, right? I mean, in principle, you know, people can see that this country is going down and they're setting up a watchman. But brethren, we have been given a watchman. And do we understand that we've been given a watchman from God? And that's what this chapter is all about. Look at verse 7. It says, "So you, O son of man, I have set you a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." You see, some people can choose their own watchman, or what we could do is we could choose God's watchman. And God has given us a watchman, and brethren, that message is there. And we have a very clear message. It's a very simple message. You know, and here we have men that say, look, you know, they're men with a message. Well, brethren, do we understand that we are men and women with a message? And ours is the only true message. And so whenever we maybe are tempted to go out to a bookstore and we see a book with a very exciting title, you know, let's review that book biblically before we buy it. And maybe let's review that book biblically before we get so caught up in it. So that's it for the Bible study then tonight.
And that's it for the last half of the broadcast of that tape, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I hope you caught it all, because he made some astounding revelations. Jesus Christ is an extraterrestrial and will be coming back to the earth in a UFO. He made that statement just as clear as the day is bright with sunlight. He made the statement that if they serve their God, man will live for all eternity. That was the promise of Satan in the Garden of Eden. He said that they are about becoming gods. Again, the promise of Satan to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He made many other statements, that they are of the house of David, they're British Israel, they are Israel. The United States is Manasseh, and all of this British Israel baloney. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. What you heard is a broadcast from the heart of the Illuminati to deceive people into following deception. And it's not just their church, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you right now, all organized religions upon the face of this earth today are leading you into deception. All of them, bar none. If you think that you just lucked out and belong to the only one of thousands of different churches that all claim and believe and say they are right and quote the scripture to prove it, and that you haven't made a mistake, I'm telling you right now, you made the biggest mistake of all. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, if you know another shortwave station that's looking to broadcast the number one shortwave program in the world with the largest listening audience, let me know, because I want to change broadcasters. I want to change stations. And if you know of any AM or FM stations that are interested in carrying this broadcast, it doesn't cost them a penny, have them contact me right away. They can do it by fax at 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. God bless each and every single one of you.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.